This is Carson Wentz, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Today I'm going to talk about wide receivers who were taken in the draft that I think will have immediate fantasy impact or could, and maybe some that you didn't hear announced on night one or two or three. But before that, let's go over some football news. Bills sign wide receiver Elijah Moore, formerly of the Browns, to a one-year contract. You know, that's a little bit surprising. You know, we had a lot of high hopes for Moore coming into the NFL, but he hasn't really been implemented much as a receiver, you know, in the past year at least. Cleveland had placed Moore on, he'd been designated as a free agent tender earlier this week, allowing the Browns to potentially net a compensatory pick if he signed elsewhere. He visited the Bills, and he will now play for up to $5 million. $5 million. I actually don't hate this for Moore. I mean, the Bills were talking earlier about how they, you know, people were lambasting them for not taking a receiver in the draft. You know, saying that they had a good receiver room, that they were happy with what they had. And now they sign Moore to the mix. I mean, it seems kind of redundant. You know, you have a slot receiver in Khalil Shakir, who you apparently like. But now you add Moore, who is also a slot receiver, to the mix. Seems redundant to me. I mean, and to be honest, I like Moore than Shakir. I think Moore is more athletically gifted than Shakir is. I never really liked Shakir in the pre-draft process. I think Moore, if given the chance, if given an equal chance to Shakir, would actually outperform him. I just do. I don't know if he'll get that opportunity. I mean, but if you line him up with the rest of the Bills receivers right now, he's not the worst one. I mean, who else are we working with right now and receiver for the Bills? We got Keon Coleman, young, big rookie. We expect good things out of him. But he didn't have a breakout season as a rookie. Caden Prather, I guess they did add a draft pick. A late pick. Jalen Virgil, Hal Presley. They got Josh Palmer in free agency. KJ Hamler, remember him? Terrell Shavers, Stephen Gosnell, Curtis Samuel, okay. Laviska Shenault, Kelly Akurai, and Khalil Shakir. It's a deep wide receiver room, but it isn't necessarily a good one. I mean, just right off the bat, I think Moore is at worst the fourth option there. I mean, arguably you have Shakir ahead of him, Coleman, Curtis, Palmer, and then Moore. And I think Moore could potentially outplay one of those guys to be the third receiver in that offense. I really do. (laughs) Welcome to the chat, Harrison. Let's go to the coffee. This actually isn't coffee. To be honest, I don't really drink coffee. Gives me anxiety. Makes me nervous. If you actually want to know what it is, it's dandelion root. No caffeine in there. No caffeine to be had. It tastes like coffee. A little bit. Not quite as bitter. Adds more non-adventures than ever see on Buffalo's Island of Misfit Toys. Possibly. It is an island of misfit toys. It is one of the most motley of wide receiver crews in the NFL at this point, at this current juncture. They're just telling Josh Allen, here are your G.I. Joes. Find some that you like. Find some that you can use on a weekly basis. Frozen State Productions, welcome to the chat. More have value. So I think he does, potentially. Like I said, I think he's arguably better than Khalil Shakir. Lining up next to each other. I mean, I liked him more than Khalil Shakir. I mean, when Elijah Moore came into the league, we expected big things out of him. We expected him to be, at worst, the number two option for the New York Jets. We loved Elijah Moore. A lot of people did. He has breakaway ability more than Shakir does. Harry, someone has Butler's receiver room, Island Misfit Toys, or could end up being the Island Dr. Moreau. Hopefully not. Hopefully they're not, they don't become amalgams of humans and animals, unsure of what their role is on Earth, leading to murderous consequences. Hopefully that's not the case. I watched The Island of Dr. Moreau fairly recently, the one with Marlon Brando. It's a terrible movie, but it had some pretty good creature effects. Keon Coleman, limited route tree. That's true. The only reason I don't think he's as much of a threat to Keon Coleman is because, I mean, they don't play similar roles in an offense. You're adding literally cast offs of every other respectable team. It's kind of true. I mean, I think a few years ago, the Bills said internally that they wanted to replicate what the Chiefs were doing, you know, and not giving Patrick Mahomes marquee receivers, you know, a good tight end, but, you know, mix and match receivers you could piece together an offense with, not have to pay a lot of money to pay up elsewhere and find success. And to some extent they have, they still haven't beaten the Chiefs. At least not when it counts. But yeah, I actually don't hate Moore going to the Bills. I think he could actually find a role in that offense. It's not like there are a lot of strong contenders that he has to deal with. In other football news, the Falcons exercised the fifth-year option for Drake London. London will only be 24 in July. Locked up for the 2026 season. And he's been good. I know it may not have seemed like it, at least consistently, but only Justin Jefferson and Jamar Chase they're the only other two wideouts to average more than 12 yards per catch on 100 receptions in 2024. So good season for Drake London there. London was third in receiving yards and seventh in receptions last season. Those are good numbers. And I think he's only going to get better as his connection, his rapport with Michael Penix gets better. I mean, London, you could argue, is on the border of a first round pick in redraft leagues. I mean, in dynasty leagues too. I think he's arguably a top five wide receiver, at least has potential to be this season. You know, the Falcons don't have that many other solid options at the receiver, though they might have added one undrafted free agent. And this is a guy who I was going to talk about later in the stream when I was talking about wide receivers who I think will make rookie wide receivers who I think will make an impact or could make an impact in their rookie seasons. And that's Nick Nash, who I was surprised did not get drafted. Maybe it's because he's 25 years old already. He's already older than Drake London. Led all college receivers in catches, yards, and touchdowns in 2024. Somehow was not drafted. He's not really explosive. Doesn't really have long speed, but he knows how to get open. Precise route runner. Sure hands, which the Falcons surely need. I mean, right now he has to contend with in Atlanta. He has London. As we've already stated, Darnell Mooney, okay. He's fine. Ray McLeod, who has somehow made a dent in fantasy last year. If Ray McLeod can do it, Nick Nash can do it. Casey Washington, Philip Dorsett, the second. Is there another one, or is it the same one who's been kicking around in the NFL for the past, what, 4 or 5 years? Speedster. There's David Sills, Quincy Skinner Jr., Chris Blair, Dylan Drummond, Jesse Matthews, Mekhi Polk, Kadarius Hodge, Jamal Agnew, hey, former Jaguar, and Nick Nash. Another wide receiver core that's bereft of notable talent. Nick Nash could easily make his way into regular rotations for the Falcons. Could potentially overtake a McLeod or a Mooney. Sure-handed, great route running Nick Nash. His only knock against him, I guess, is really his speed, but I mean, he mitigated that. He led all college receivers in catches, yards, and touchdowns in 2024. I think it's going to be hard for this kid not to find, well, I use the term kid loosely, not to find his way onto an NFL field. Somebody to look to in dynasty formats. I think Nick Nash will have some value this season. Another news, the Athletics' Mike DeFabo listed Steelers rookie running back Caleb Johnson alongside Jaylen Warren as co-starters. A physical back built to carry the load. Well, we knew that. Replacing Najee Harris. Over 1,500 yards and 21 touchdowns in 2024 for Iowa. Also caught the ball, 22 catches for 188 yards and 2 touchdowns. Only 3 backs in the nation logged more rushes of over 10 yards than Johnson in 2024. I don't know how Jaylen Warren's going to play ahead of this kid. I don't see it. Everybody wants Jaylen Warren to succeed as a starter for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I don't know why. He's not shown himself to be capable of a starting role for the Steelers. He shouldn't be. Get Johnson in there. I mean, it almost makes Warren redundant with Kenneth Gainwell there. All I'm saying is don't draft Jaylen Warren. That's all I'm saying. Don't draft him. It's that easy. There's little upside to be had with this guy at this point. And draft Caleb Johnson in all formats. He's going to be the starter. Chargers placed the UFA tender on running back J.K. Dobbins. This gives the Chargers exclusive negotiating rights if he does not sign with the team by July 22nd or the first 2025 NFL training camp opens, whichever comes first. I mean, I guess the Chargers could add Dobbins back to that backfield. I hope they don't for the sake of Najee Harris and Omarion Hampton. Dobbins being a Charger again would not bode well for either of them. Because Dobbins is still good. Injury prone, maybe, but he's still good. And I think that just muddies up the backfield there in L.A. if another team doesn't pick him up, which I think they will. New Orleans football's Nick Underhill said he would be flabbergasted if Derek Carr played for the Saints this year. Absolutely flabbergasted. I would have trouble understanding why you would allow that to happen. You're trying to build a new culture. You can't let that guy. You just got a rookie quarterback. This is the example you're going to give him. Both Underhill and Mike Triplett believe Tyler Shock, and I guess it's Shock now. I guess that's how we're pronouncing it. We'll be starting for the Saints in week one, saying that at 80% or higher odds to start 80% of the games this year. Okay. Tyler Shock, rookie, old rookie. Doesn't really excite me in fantasy. I mean, maybe he's better than Carr. But to me, he seems kind of right on par where Carr actually already is. Doesn't have a really big arm. Isn't really mobile. In any case, though, it seems like he's, barring another addition and free agency, is going to be the starter for the New Orleans Saints come September. Now here comes Harry Snowman with the shock and awe, with the awe of shock. He's better than you think. Maybe. I hope he is. You know, I hope he is better than I think. It's not that I think he's bad. I just think he's unspectacular. You know, I don't see him as necessarily a major improvement over a Derek Carr on a good day. But I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong on Tyler Shock. I mean, they obviously liked him enough to take him as early as they did in the draft. They obviously liked him more than Shedeur Sanders. So like I said, I hope I'm wrong about Tyler Shock. And by wrong, I mean, I hope he's better than average. Carr definitely isn't. Another football news. Cleveland plan deal is Mary Kay Cabot believes Shedeur Sanders will have to outperform the other three quarterbacks on the roster to even make the Browns. She's saying Sanders might not even make the Browns.
Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90 exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Are you a financial advisor considering the independent RIA model and wondering where to start? Start with Schwab Advisor Services. They've helped thousands evaluate the full range of options and can help you determine your best path forward. Start your journey today at advisorservices.schwab.com/paths.
But she also adds, if the season starts tomorrow, the starter would be Kenny Pickett. She thinks Pickett is a starter right now. I don't know. I tend to think that Joe Flacco would take the starting role. Well, she covers the Browns almost exclusively, I'm guessing. So she says the Browns made clear to Pickett that he could control his own destiny with a stellar performance. A stellar performance win in what? When they traded Dorian Thompson-Robinson and a fifth-round pick to the Eagles. To be honest, Joe Flacco has been the most successful quarterback of that bunch. I mean, sure, they paid Pickett, I guess, the most money. But Joe Flacco, gun to Temple, I'm starting him over Pickett any day. But the idea that Sanders might not even make the team, that sounds a little bit absurd to me. I mean, it's like the lady doth protest a little bit too much. Sanders is going to make the team. I mean, when all is said and done, Sanders might be the best quarterback of this entire group. And that wouldn't be that hard, to be honest. It wouldn't take much to be better than Kenny Pickett. You know, Joe Flacco has had a decent career in the NFL, but Joe Flacco is no Joe Montana. He's no Broadway Joe. Dylan Gabriel's still there, though. Rookie who was signed before Shedeur Sanders. Small, puny Dylan Gabriel, some might say. Yeah, I find it unlikely that Sanders won't make the team, but I guess it's within the realm of possibilities. Rams coach Sean McVay said Terrence Ferguson reminds him of Chris Cooley and Travis Kelce. Wow. Haven't heard Chris Cooley's name called in a while. He says those are big, lofty comparisons, so I'm certainly not saying that he's those guys yet, but there's a lot of instincts. He plays with a change of pace when the ball gets in his hands. When things go off schedule, he shows what a feel he has to find soft spots. I'm really excited to get him in that tight end room. McVay elaborated. Tyler Higbee headed into the final year of his contract. Why not get the young man Ferguson involved in that offense? Some good tight ends to be had. Some good rookie tight ends to be had. Coming out of this draft. And it looks like Terrence Ferguson has a bright future, according to Sean McVay. Maybe it's a year before he pops. Maybe it's not until year three, per usual. But Ferguson, definitely somebody to add to your rookie squads. Harry Snowman adds, Joe Flacco is elite. I mean, he played for Toledo, right? The Polish cannon. Terminal sarcasm. Welcome to the chat. Today's cast needs more love. Let's get some likes for the channel. I agree. Smash that like button. Smash it if you want Shedeur Sanders to get a role on the Cleveland Browns. I really do. I really want to see what he can do. I really want to see if the hype, then the non-hype. I want to see if it builds some fortitude in the young man. I mean, he has premier pedigree. Primetime pedigree. I mean, I'd love to see what he can do in the NFL. I'd love to see another good fantasy quarterback. We all do. We'd love to see it. Las Vegas Review Journal's Vincent Montagnore believes Jack Besh is a strong candidate to be an immediate starter for the Raiders. I mean, that's not really hard. Compared to Puka Nacua in the draft process, I mean, really, the only guys ahead of him, as far as targets go, Brock Bowers, of course, and then Jacoby Myers. Who else is in front of Jack Besh? Let's take a look real quick. Trey Tucker could be. Deontay Thornton Jr., fellow rookie draft pick. Cedric Jackson, Jeff Foreman, Christian Wilkerson, Tyreek McAllister, Zachary Franklin. Have you heard of any of these guys ever? Kyle Phillips. I've heard of him. Alex Bachman and then Tommy Mellott, who was taken in the draft as well, quarterback / wide receiver. He could actually find his way onto an NFL field at a fairly often clip. He could. But really, it's only Myers and Bowers ahead of Jack Besh. Tied to Geno Smith. It's not your same old Raiders offense. And they have Ashton Jeanty, who's going to open things up for that passing game. So Jack Besh, definitely one to potentially have a major fantasy impact in his rookie season. Other receivers who I think are going to have impact in their fantasy seasons? Travis Hunter, of course. Maybe the best wide receiver, maybe the best cornerback in the entire draft. The Jags are going to use him mostly as a receiver. Hopefully that is the case. That remains the case. Could surpass 1,000 yards in his rookie season. And have a handful, if maybe not a couple more touchdowns. Definitely going to have an impact. Tech McMillan, Carolina. It's not the situation that I would have loved to see McMillan in. I would have liked to see him go elsewhere, to be honest. Being tied to Bryce Young's arm isn't anyone's idea of a great situation as far as fantasy is concerned. But they're saying now they are going to move him all over the formation. So it might be dink and dunk, but he's going to get his. He's going to get his receptions. For projected for 70 receptions, 921 yards, and 6 touchdowns in 15 games for ESPN. I mean, that seems a little bit optimistic, considering that they still have Xavier Leggett and Adam Thielen to feed. But McMillan's the kind of player you can just throw it up to and he's going to get it. You know, he's a bad quarterback's friend, a bad quarterback's best friend. But he'll definitely have an immediate impact. Another guy who I think will have an impact this season, Luther Burden III. Becomes the third option at worst for the Bears. Great yard after the catch ability. Great tackle breaker. 5'11", 208 pounds. Dynamic, powerful. They'll scheme to get him touches. But I think he could have a role like McMillan's in the offense. He could break 900 yards this season. I mean, and who's to say that he couldn't emerge as the top receiving option in Chicago? It could happen. In any case, I mean, he's already projected starter on an emerging Bears offense. Let's say that. Caleb Williams still has work to do, but I think he'll have a better season. Another rookie I think will have a good season, potentially. And I hope he does. He was my favorite receiver coming into the draft behind Travis Hunter, I guess. And that's Emeka Egbuka. Now a Tampa Bay Buccaneer, formerly of Ohio State. And those guys don't miss. Those Ohio State receivers don't miss. Smooth route runner. Can play inside, outside. Played mostly inside. 70% inside. You know, which I thought was, which was why I thought he was an interesting pick for the Buccaneers. Why I didn't love it initially. They already have Chris Godwin there over the middle. But Egbuka, he could transition outside. Easily. You know, it sucks for Jalen McMillan. But Egbuka, he proved that he could get his alongside good receivers at Ohio State. You know, over 1,000 yards, 10 touchdowns in 2024. I mean, he's played alongside guys like Marvin Harrison Jr., Jeremiah Smith. So why couldn't he get his in the Tampa offense? Great athlete, 4.49 40, 38-inch vert. He's likely to be the third receiver in an electric Tampa Bay offense. I mean, I think he could honestly do better than a McMillan or a Burton. He's in a better offense of my top five receivers in the draft. Egbuka's on the best offense, certainly. And so he's going to be a starter, most likely, on the best offense of this group. Why wouldn't he potentially be the best performer? So I didn't initially love it for Egbuka just because he has primarily played out of the slot in Tampa, but the best offense of the group, why wouldn't he perform as a starter? Some other receivers I like. Kyle Williams, underrated, 4-4-40, elusive. Mike Vrabel, well, he was joking about Mike Vrabel's size, you know, so he's already having fun. But he joins a Patriots squad that, other than Stephon Diggs, took me a minute to recall him. I mean, you got Mac Hollins as your other starter, DeMario Douglas. I mean, you have some other young talent that hasn't done much, and Jalen Polk, and Javon Baker. Kendrick Bourne, the Bourne identity. Kayshawn Boutte, Jeremiah Webb, Efton Chisholm, Demir Blankumsi. I mean, it's kind of like the Bills. I mean, Diggs is arguably an elite receiver, or at least has been historically. But Kyle Williams could slot in as a starter immediately. And he's fast. Might be the fastest of that group. With a young dynamic quarterback in Drake May, you have to like Kyle Williams' chances. Here's someone says, it sucks for McMillan this year. Saying it doesn't suck for McMillan. I know people say Tampa's reloading. Evans and Gallman aren't playing. Yeah, they're not playing forever, but they're playing this year. And in fantasy, it's a what have you done for me lately kind of business. I mean, we have to think about this year primarily. And so it does suck for McMillan this year, at least on the outset. Other rookie receivers who I think have a shot. I mean, Jaden Higgins, 6'4", 217 pounds. Possession receiver, most likely for the Texans. Texans unlikely to bring back John Mechie, it seems. But it's almost a wide open receiver room there in Houston. I mean, you got Nico Collins, but he's the only, well, I guess Christian Kirk. You can maybe slot him as a for sure starter. But after those two, a lot of question marks. I mean, Tank Dell, we'd love to see it happen. We'd love to see him return to form. But he's been so injury plagued. I mean, he's a small guy. He's not a tank, we found out after all. But Higgins, along with Jalen Noel. Higgins, though, it's going to be hard to keep him off the field at 6'4", 217 pounds. Could definitely find a role in the Texans offense. And a Texans offense that I think will bounce back this season. Another guy I like, potentially, Matthew Golden, the Packers. You know, it's a convoluted wide receiver room for sure in Green Bay. but he could be their best deep threat. I mean, Christian Watson, as much as we want him to succeed, as much as we loved him coming into his rookie season, injury plague, just like a Tank Dell. Can't stay on the field. And so if you count Watson out, then who is their biggest playmaker left? Who could stretch the field? It's not Romeo Dubs. It's not Jaden Reed, who I like in PPR formats. I love in PPR formats, but it's not him. It's not Dontayvion Wicks. I mean, you could argue Mecole Hardman could take that role, but we don't want him to. They don't want him to. He's insurance. It's Matthew Golden. Matthew Golden is their deep threat. Primed to take the role of Christian Watson and stay on the field, though. So you have to like that for Golden. You have to like being tied to Jordan Love's arm. You have to like him being the deep threat in that offense, in that electric offense. So those are receivers who I think just off the bat will have impact as rookies. There are going to be more, and the more I look at these depth charts, and the more, you know, we found out during these practices, these subsequent practices, there are going to be some more rookies who could display potentially major fantasy impact in 2025. We hope to display major fantasy impact in 2025 at Roster Watch Nation. Stay tuned for Alex and Cody. They're here. And they will be here to illuminate your 2025 fantasy season. Until then, until next time, this has been the Trashman on behalf of RosterWatch.com. Be ready.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.